hear Jonina Abron Irvin and Lorenzo Irvin talk about prison slavery. That's Prison Pipeline, August 4th at 6:30 p.m.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 10 a.m. Coming up, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. Followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints, where host Dennis Bernstein features a new talk given by Ralph Nader this past Wednesday. At 11, host Shahid Hamid brings us the voices of Portland's African-American community on It Takes a Village. And at 11:30 on Between the Lines, we'll hear about how U.S. and NATO actions in Ukraine could trigger a new Cold War, and the state of Maine decides to block the export of tar sands oil. Well, thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support, and if you're not a current member, you are able to remedy that at kboo.fm. Just click where it says Donate Today. Now, Air Cascadia.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, August 1st, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We're going to be speaking again today with Joe Catrone in Gaza, what's left of Gaza. The ceasefire, so-called ceasefire. Essentially, when they talk about ceasefires, they are using the Frank Luntz playbook, the dictionary that has become, thanks to the Independent out of Great Britain, has become the playbook for Israeli spokes murderers to sanctify what they are up to. Again, each time one of these ceasefire deals collapses and the blame is always laid at the feet of Hamas, we forget who holds all the power, who is playing with all the cards in the deck, who is backed by the greatest military force that history has ever seen, the United States of America, raining down death and destruction on innocent civilian population. This cannot be said enough, because the dictionary that is being used, came out in 2009. It's done by the conservative Frank Luntz, who, if ever there was a man who could twist words, it would be our dear old Uncle Frank. We're going to be speaking with Joe Catron and shine a little truth on what's happening in Gaza. Joe is a citizen of a U.S. citizen in Gaza. He was recently profiled and inside a Gaza hospital, and he was actually at the El Wafa geriatric hospital in Gaza City when it was bombed. We've got just a very, very few headlines. First, in Seattle, Jeff Speer, a socialist running against State House Speaker Frank Chop, was arrested yesterday during a protest against oil trains running through the city. And a controversial LNG terminal was approved for a site near Astoria, Warrington, on the Columbia River. Of course, it would be bad PR all round to site the thing within eyesight of tourists, or, for that matter, within a potential blast zone. So Oregon LNG is playing its cards close to the kill zone. The fight, however, has just begun. We know this because it was fought once or twice before, ready to go round three with LNG. And the CIA Inspector General's report just confirmed what many in the Senate and the media already suspected. Over the last year, the CIA has systematically hacked into Intelligence Committee's computers in order to obstruct the release of Senate report detailing the CIA's torture program overseas. The report is still classified, but portions of it have been released by McClatchy. Sometimes you just want it to happen. A woman who worked for the Portland Rescue Mission filed a $250,000 lawsuit against the nonprofit, claiming that she was fired because her superior thought she was planning to have children out of wedlock. And the Republican candidate for California governor said yesterday that he spent a week living as a homeless person in Fresno to highlight the disparity between the governor's claim that the state is making an economic comeback and the reality faced by the working poor. Now, needless to say, he's a gazillionaire. That's how he could afford to live as a homeless person in Fresno for a week. Real homeless people in Fresno can't afford to do that. We're going to speak now with Joe Cotron in Gaza. Good morning, Joe, and thanks again for joining us today. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and good evening to me.
Good evening to you. Excuse me. Indeed, yes. Good evening, and welcome back. The situation in Gaza is simply unbelievable, and largely because of the fact that it is not being reported accurately. The mainstream media has swallowed whole hook, line, and sinker the platitudes and blandishments prepared for it by Frank Luntz, who is a conservative opinion maker and a staunch member of AIPAC here in the United States, who wrote a manual in 2009. It's a dictionary on how to for Israel, the Israelis, how to terms in which to couch their murderous behavior in Gaza, and for that matter in the West Bank. I mean, children have been shot along the wall every Friday during peaceful protests, and now this takes it to a whole different level. But can you give us what you see around you right now and what you are hearing from people there on the ground in Gaza?
Certainly. Well, I should explain to those who haven't been following the news today closely that it started off with a ceasefire which had been brokered by the United Nations and the United States, curiously, and agreed to by both sides. That began at 8 a.m. There were several hours here of relative quiet. I remember walking down the streets in the morning and noticing that there were no drones in the sky. And this was something that I had not that had not been the case here for a number of weeks. And it was nice to simply be in public, out in the open, and not worry about getting bombed. It was a new sensation compared to what we've had here recently. That ended quickly. I remember the moment when I noticed, sometime after 11, that the sound of drones had returned. I thought to myself, well, this can't be good. And shortly thereafter, we in Gaza City got word that Israel had shelled Rafah, killing upwards of 40 people. I'm here at the Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's largest, with some people from the Ministry of Health. They are not able to tell me the total death toll for the day. I'm not sure anyone knows what it is yet. Rescue crews have not been able to make it into large parts of Rafah, which had been declared closed military zones by the Israeli army, to retrieve bodies or survivors. So it will be some time before we know what the day's casualties are. And this is an Israeli ceasefire for you. I think all of the most grisly incidents I myself have experienced here certainly have been during Israeli ceasefires. A few days ago, during one humanitarian ceasefire Israel claimed to be recognizing, I caught a bit of the blast from the massacre at the Shijaya market, where 17 people were killed. Earlier, several weekends ago, I witnessed the repeated shooting of Salem Shamily, an unarmed young man, during a humanitarian ceasefire Israel claimed to be recognizing. And I haven't sat down to crunch the numbers yet, but I'm starting to think that one of the most dangerous times here is during a humanitarian ceasefire.
Yeah,
it really does seem to me, although I don't know if this is statistically accurate, that people are more likely to get killed during these things than at others.
Well, I wondered about that because there was when they had a very brief, something, what was it, a 4-hour ceasefire, people, mainly women, rushed out to a market. And 20 minutes before that, when the ceasefire was theoretically still in place, 20 minutes before it was due to, that window of opportunity was due to close, 20 minutes before when it was in, it was ostensibly still in force, they bombed the marketplace. They bombed all the people going out to get food.
You're speaking of the Shijiazh market Shijiazh, bombing,
yes.
You said.
That's to me, I can't imagine anyone doing this. It seems the Israelis don't consider Palestinians to even be human. They're merely, I don't know. I can't.
Right, and that was also the case today. I understand, although reports are still sketchy, it's difficult to get accurate information. I'm told that a number of the casualties from the bombings of Rafah also resulted from attacks on a market there. So if there's a lesson coming out from all of this, it's when Israel tells you there's a humanitarian ceasefire, definitely don't rush out to the market to buy food.
Shelter in place, and right? All of us here, of course, are beyond speechless and with horror. And the large Palestinian community here at KBOO, Jenka Soderberg, our evening news director, is married to Syed Benoura, the International Middle East Media Center. And basically no one slept since this began. And we don't see...
I can imagine. Same here.
Oh, well, you're there. Are you safe? How is it for you? Have you spoken to Israelis to see what they think of what is being done in their name? How do they feel about it? It's an extraordinary situation. You would think that here in the United States that the entire Jewish population would stand up and say, stop, this cannot continue. Why hasn't that happened?
You would expect so. I've been focused on the circumstances here. I'm afraid I haven't followed things elsewhere as closely as I should, either in terms of the Israeli political discourse or the United States. I understand the current offensive is tremendously popular among Jewish Israelis, that poll after poll has shown broad support for it. Why this is, I'm simply not in a position to say, I'm afraid.
It was very, very difficult for us here to understand why there isn't more opposition from groups that have power and have the attention of legislators and people who are in a position to speak out. We do have the option of boycott sanctions and take that route, but it seems that at this point there's very little that can come of those sorts of actions because of the extreme violence. Where is this heading? Can you see any end in sight at all?
It's difficult to say. Some held hopes for the ceasefire today. I myself did not, although I avoided saying so. I didn't want to depress anyone who was bright and happy this morning, and there were some. I was happy for them. I couldn't quite bring myself to be happy with them. I thought things would develop approximately as they did. In terms of what's going to happen, I think there are some promising developments. Certainly Israel and its allies are experiencing a level of international outrage that they haven't seen before during previous offensives here. We've even seen statements from the White House, of all places, calling Israel's shelling of a UN school where children and their parents who have been displaced from their homes elsewhere in the Gaza Strip were sleeping. That shelling killed 17 of them, and the U.S. said something obvious, that this was completely intolerable, but it's noticeable that we would see anything along those lines said by the Obama administration. Of course, this comes while they're rearming Israel, filling its stockpiles with ammunition. So there's still quite a bit of work to do, but overall, I think the balance of the global discourse is shifting slowly but perceptibly.
Joe, before we let you go, a very important question I do want to ask you. The Israeli military said that they intend to bomb the Shifa hospital. Is that that's an extraordinary thing to news?
It is extraordinary. Yes, they did. A bomb threat was received earlier at Shifa Hospital. I was here when a building where patients were being treated, was partially evacuated. There weren't many of them. This is a building that hasn't been fully completed. I think there's still some paint and plaster to be done inside. So it hadn't been in use before the current offensive began, but they began moving patients into it for lack of better options. Now I think it's back in use. There's simply no other option. Already with the hospitals that have been damaged and forced to evacuate across the Gaza Strip, Shifa in particular, the largest hospital here with the number of facilities that others lack, needs every inch it can get. I mean, if you come here, you'll see patients having operations performed on them in hallways. There's simply no excess room, and no more can possibly be sacrificed.
But the idea that so-called nation states, state of Israel, announces that they plan to bomb a hospital, and the rest of the world stands around with its their collective hands in their pockets, sort of, well, yes, that's on the news. That, to me, is beyond unconscionable. What have we become as human beings? We've lost all our humanity. We're out of time here, and I do want to thank you for speaking with us today. We here, of course, are pretty much rendered utterly speechless and horrified. And we just want to thank you again. Please do be safe. Please be safe.
We'll all do our best.
And we stand in solidarity with people of Gaza, those who are left, with the refugees too, with all Palestinians indeed. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, August 1st, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. My guest has been Joe Cachon, speaking with us from Gaza. I'm Chris Andre. Get the